for those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is The God Journey. Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Sarah Jacobson.
Sarah's in here with us today. Hi, baby.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. I begged you to come do this. You just love being in front of a microphone, don't you?
It's better than talking in front of a big group of people, or even a small group of people.
Okay, so now you're preferring the microphone to rooms full of people. Yeah, you've decided, even though you've done quite a bit of sharing in front of groups of people, you've pretty much decided that's not your deal.
No, it's not my thing.
And so it's not that you won't do it ever.
No, I'm not saying that. No.
But not often.
No.
And not regular.
No.
And people don't always understand that. When I travel around, people always want Sarah to be there, too. And I always go, where's Sarah?
Well, that's where we're different.
It is.
You like being in a big group of people. I like the smaller conversation type. Well,
yeah, more intimate conversations with people. And we're learning that that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Which is part of why you're here today, actually. But you are a bit wounded this morning.
A little.
Recovering.
From a little minor surgery that I had yesterday.
This is what happens when flowers attack.
Flowers, not all flowers. Now, these were roses. Irises don't have that, but roses.
How long have you had this little injury? I don't even know.
I'm not sure. I remember about a month or so ago, I went to the doctor because I looked down at my thumb.
A bump on her thumb.
Yes, it was like oh, that's lopsided. That's not supposed to be like that. And so I went to the doctor, and it was hurting. That's the only reason really more why I went. So we didn't know what it was, and he said something's in there, and needed because it was on right near a nerve, and he couldn't have me, and he couldn't have me move a bit, and so they had to put me under.
Put her under, did some surgery yesterday, found in there the little tip of a rose thorn sticking into your thumb joint.
Yeah.
Wow, I warned you that gardening would get you in trouble someday.
No, worth every bit of it, though.
Those flowers are deceptive. They look pretty and everything, but they've got stuff in there to really hurt you with it.
Yeah, I don't know why God made roses and thorns on them. That I don't get.
But I'm even surprised man hasn't bred them out by now. You'd think by now they would have bred thorns off of roses.
Well, they have some that are not as bad, but anyhow. So, yeah, it was a
And you've got roses around here.
A few.
So you're going to have to wear chainmail now as you work in the yard. So.
Well, no, I'm just going to have to put on heavier gloves, or maybe I'll put on a couple gloves at a time and have them whatever.
Maybe you'll be in a full suit of armor out there trying to get your roses trimmed.
Well, I did get rose gloves, so the gloves go all the way up to my elbow, so my arms aren't going to get scratched up.
Yeah, we also had a few complaints last week about you bringing some nice warm cookies in here for Brad and I while we're doing the podcast.
Lindsay was over. She likes to bake, and so we were making cookies because you were speaking at an event, and so we were making cookies for that.
Believe me, I'm not looking for excuses. You can bring warm cookies to Brad and I anytime. People can just complain all day. Maybe someday they'll come join us here and they can have some too. Or
yes, they can.
Or to California. I mean, we were in California meeting a couple weekends ago and we took the cookies with us so we could share them up there.
Oh, yes, we did. So we made quite a few of them then.
We made a bunch of cookies, shared them around. People seemed to enjoy them. But that's not why you're here. You're not here for cookies or flowers or... Actually, you're here because last week Brad and I got talking off this experience in Auckland with some brothers that were trying to figure out how to get their wives on their journey. And the question I had on my heart to them was, why don't you join your wife on hers? Which led to a wonderful conversation with them and a good conversation on the podcast. A lot of response from some of our listeners. And this is the person I've learned this from. You're the one that's taught me about what it is to recognize there's more than just one journey going on in our home and experiencing that kind of life with you. So I thought it'd be fun to have you here and we could talk about that some.
That'd be good.
Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we didn't start here. We've been married almost 37 years coming up, but we didn't start with any sense of how we even share each other's journeys or even that there is a journey going on.
That's true.
I think we were part of the whole conformity-based, conservative, Christian, religious, whatever, that basically the man has a job to do and the woman supports it, right?
Yeah. Of course, obviously, I think that's changed in the last, I don't know exactly when it has, but...
It's been changing. It still needs to change some.
But I mean, I think there's a lot of people who, or couples our age, who are like that and have been like that. But I'm not sure if everybody is like that. When we were back in college, if somebody was really career-minded, I think that may not have been as strong in those marriages.
Yeah, no, I think when we got married back in the day, particularly in the subset of the culture we were growing up in, which was very conservative, and I was going to full-time ministry, and the whole teaching about women being a helpmeet for their husband drawn from the Old Testament really says the man has a life, a career, a mission, a ministry, whatever, and the woman comes along and helps with that.
Yep.
I even find holdovers from that when I travel. When I travel places, people always expect you to come with me, or hopeful that you would come with me, or does Sarah ever get to go with you is the question I'm often asked these days. And the answer is, yeah, she often comes with me, but she often doesn't as well.
And I always have the opportunity to go.
Yeah, you're always welcome to come.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that...
Well, there's been a couple places I went where I didn't think it'd be a good idea for you to go, but
true.
That's very
but
rare.
But that's because I didn't probably really want to go there anyhow.
Well, but, just because there were dangers involved as well, that would not have been your cup of tea.
But even that whole mentality seems so strange and foreign now.
Yeah, but we talked about your transition before on here, some things, but you spent 20 years of our early married days just fitting into my expectations, other people's expectations for you, being a pastor's wife, whatever.
Yep.
You didn't even have a sense that you had a journey you were on that was meaningful or valuable.
No, I had no journey, no sense.
And I wasn't thrilled to hear that 20 years into our marriage, because I felt like we talked about the two becoming one flesh, the language Paul uses about the marriage and the mystery of the man and the woman, and, you know, how do the two become one flesh, and really wanted to be on the same journey, and spent a lot of our life, even the first, after those first 20, trying to get on the same journey together, instead of learning to appreciate the fact that there's three journeys in our marriage. This is what I think we've come to really appreciate over the last 12, 15 years. There's three journeys here. There's Wayne's journey and what God's doing in him and how Wayne's responding to him. There's Sarah's journey, what God's doing in her, how she's responding to that. And then there's what we get to share together as our journey, the things that are part of our life together. And so when I was talking to those guys in Auckland, even when I was talking to them, thinking, man, I wouldn't have been talking this way 15 years ago. This has all come out of a lot of you going on a bit of a different journey than even the one I was on. And that being okay.
So do you think there are many women who are feeling this? Or you get a sense when you travel? Or is this more holdover in the husband's mentality?
I think it's both. Hmm. I think women have fit into that role. So particularly if you've grown up in a real conservative religious thing for a long time. People have just grown up with kind of, I don't really get a journey. I'm just here to help my husband do his. And I think that is changing. I think it's coming from both ends. And it's unfortunately the feminist movement brought us to this. It didn't rise out of the Church of Jesus Christ saying, you know what, it seems like women are a little repressed here. It just, you know, we don't share power easily, and we realize someone's not getting power. In fact, groups continue to take power away from women and treat them second class citizens. Your opinion's not as important. You're more easily deceived because of Eve and the snake and blah, blah, blah. Yep. That we really marginalize women. And one of those words in one of the podcast blog comments that was on last week, when women get accused of having the Jezebel spirit, if they talk too much or challenge the status quo or just ask the important questions. And the Jezebel spirit designation is just a major way that men repress women spiritually.
Yeah.
And what I like, you know, the feminist movement really made us wrestle with how Jesus views women, which I think is great. Not that it was trying to do that. I mean, it was basically, and I, as I read through some of the blog posts too, I get that sense of almost the resentment from women. If you've been under control for a long time, and then you kind of maybe see there's greater freedom for you, that some of the early days of that, and really I think the feminist movement at its core was, don't we have the right to be as selfish as you men have been for 6,000 years? And yeah, that's not all beautiful, but yeah, who's going to deny him that?
Yeah.
If men have been incredibly selfish in the relationship with a marriage, and then yeah, I think you get to wake up to that. And
because women are as important as men, and their thoughts, their desires are as important as men, and there has been weighted fact where the guys, because he's was the breadwinner way back when, and supposedly, but sometimes that is even changing. I mean, women now both, and sometimes because just to live, they have to both work. Sometimes they want to both work.
And sometimes the guy stays home and raises the kids more, while the woman's got a job that supports the family better.
And women sometimes may have more money coming in than the husband. And so they're both important, and not that the man is more important and he was the breadwinner and he was the one that everything is in their name. And that's still somewhat there. I think it's still there in the religion, in conservative, more conservative churches. It's probably still there. Well, I'm not there, so I don't really know.
Yeah. How did you begin to wake up to the fact that you had a journey apart from mine?
With all the changes was going on with the pain, with taking care of my, and I've shared this and I don't want to go in detail over it, with taking care of my parents and issues that was coming along with other, with a sibling that I had, and just the realization and transformation that God was taking me through. And that was also with going through the same time as there was in the church that you were pastoring at that point in time, and all that combined, coming through and realizing that I, towards the end part of it, after going through and parents had passed away and some other things had happened, that I realized that I was important and I was valued and loved, and that I'm a daughter, and I'm
a daughter of the Father.
A daughter of the Father. And at first, and I was that first foremost before I ever was a wife or a mother, or now even a grandmother, even though it's been through the times of that. And even at that point in time, through being in going through being a pastor's wife also, and that I was a daughter, and that it came through quite a bit of pain. And I don't think it was a transformation and a process that I came through, but realizing that I had a journey, I had purpose. And then I think that purpose, that's where it started. I have a purpose in life outside of our relationship and what my identity and my kids. And that's so easy as I was a stay-at-home mom, and that's so easy to be able to take your identity in those that you have raised and what you do in the house. And that is...
Did it feel okay for you to have a journey that was... And I wouldn't say...
Not at first...
What did it feel like? It just felt like, this is wrong, this is bad, I'm betraying my marriage. What did you feel in that early
felt point? Selfish.
Ah.
It did. I mean, it felt selfish, but yet when I was going through all that, that was where people were telling me, it is not selfish what you're going through, because you've always catered and done for other people and not for yourself. And this was a time for myself to know that I'm important, and I had a time for myself too. And that's not, when you take care of yourself and you're learning about yourself, that's not a selfish act. Being with a father and learning and seeing how he sees you. But it was odd. It was strange. And it didn't, you know, I think it was a few years till I realized that there was more that I could say, there's my journey, your journey, and then ours. And that it took a while to process that in my mind mentally. I know that I was in a daughter, but, you know, to think, oh, I have my own things that father had. I mean, it was a process. It was a several years.
And not just purpose things, too. It's just things that you enjoy, different than things that I enjoy. And it wasn't like we have to do everything together. That was a real freedom, I think, for both of us.
And when we talk about a journey, it's not necessarily you have this big mission to do that God wants you to do. And I mean, that it's not like a big mission. It's you have gifts that Father has given into you. And it's just mainly your personality to be able to just love and minister to people around you. It's not like, hopefully people don't think a journey that I have to have this big mission, what Father wants me to do for my life. And no, I think I was coming aware of what I like to do and who I was. And that's the journey, is walking with him. And that can be, oh my gosh, there's millions of different types of journeys out there of people.
Yeah, and that wasn't, you know, you had a book to write or a ministry to develop. No. Or it was just, there was a way that you could love more freely and care. Because mm-hmm. you were even going through, you talk about selfish. I laugh because I can't ever imagine, even when you were going through that, you never came off as selfish to me. I mean, you've always been incredibly self-giving. Even through this process, I watch you with the kids, grandkids, me. You are incredibly a self-giving person. You are.
Yeah, but I have talked to women and in different places, and I can't specifically think of, you know, certain people, but I can. When you start, as a wife or mother or a woman, I think when you, or even people, and maybe guys feel the same way, but when you start to think and focus on yourself, see, it was more focusing my time, I felt was focusing more on me than thinking about others. But at that point in time, that's where I was having to learn and process in my mind what was happening internally. And I think that's where I was felt selfish, and I have heard from other women who are feeling it's not selfish. I say, no, it's not being selfish. Is this your time to be able to find out about yourself? Also, when during some of that time in the early on was caring for my parents, in when you're caring for others, you also have to be able to take time for yourself as a caregiver. Because
people don't always do that well, do they?
I didn't. I mean, you know, I had a couple friends who I went to, but you need time away. You need time away from that to just have whatever. I mean, for me, just going to the movies was just an escape, and being able to be away and have friends. But I mean, there's support groups, there's friends, there's going away for meals or having a night out or a day or going to a spa or the gym or doing
spa.
Something.
How often have you gone to a spa?
Well, I'm just thinking of things that women would want to do.
Okay, I was going
to
say, I don't know.
I'm not saying I've done all these.
I'm not a spa lady, but.
You know, shopping or doing something to get away, because the caregiving in our generation now, I mean, I've already been through that, but I know the baby boomers are going to be going through times where they're going to be caring for parents. And if you don't take care of yourself, I mean, I was in the hospital, I mean, not hospital, but I had a lot of tests done because the stress in that was weighing on me to where the doctor was saying, don't take, you know, this disease has already taken one life, took my mom's life, don't let it take another. And
yeah,
so
your dad's disease, because the way your mom subverted herself to care for him, she ended up costing her life because she didn't care for herself.
And that can happen because it's just draining. So, I mean, even just women in caregiving in any kind, we think that we are always taking care of others, but that's where I think the selfish, where I was feeling selfish, because a lot of my time was focused on me, and that was odd and strange. And I think that's, there is a time to have that. Not that I was selfish for that, but I was feeling selfish.
Yeah, I get that. Now, how do you think that's affected our marriage since you've really discovered more who you are and why God has you on the planet and just your love and care for people and just the way you love your kids, grandkids, whatever, people, friends of ours? How do you think that's impacted our marriage? Has it hurt it?
I don't think so. I think it makes it right. I mean, I'm, because I was changing, you're the one that got affected more, because I think it changed some of what we've done or what I did.
So let me see. Someone's meeting every expectation I ever have for 20 years versus someone who's now becoming a bit of an individual and seeing why God's put them on the planet. On the outside, that looks like, wow, the first 20 years had to be really great. You got everything you wanted. And I did, but it wasn't great in that I wasn't living with a real person. I look at what now, I think you share my journey better than you ever have. I think I'm much more aware of your journey and seek to share it more than I ever have. And I think that's made our marriage much more incredible and stronger and more real. It wasn't like a threat to the marriage, you becoming what God wanted you to be.
But if in generally speaking, if it's going to be the woman who is going to be finding her journey, that is going to impact the marriage as far as the husband and what was previously done. I mean, it may not, but it might impact that. And so that's where...
No, I can see guys that would have said, I want the old wife back. Yeah. I want you doing what I say, being here, doing... I mean, I can see that.
And husbands, if a wife is going through this right now and the husband is not wanting to change, I mean, that's going to cause friction. So, I mean, this is... There has to be... I'm not necessarily saying that it's going to be the wife or the husband that's going to have to be the one to change. I mean, there's going to be changes that's going to be occurring in a marriage in order to make this whole process work, which is, I think, for the best, but there's going to have to be some.
And that's what I hope people get from this whole flavor of this discussion is it's worth going down this road. It's worth letting your partner become who God wants them to become. It's worth being a cheerleader, even if they're not on a great spiritual journey. And the other part of this is not, it's only good if you're going to be more like the Jesus I want you to be like. Instead of, no, I need to let you go on a journey. If this love relationship is going to work, it doesn't work because I make you live like, act like, talk like me.
And what if the husband, if it's the wife who is changing, and what if the husband doesn't? I mean... Speaking from the husband point, I don't know if there's...
No, I think that's what we're saying. Husbands, you want to let your wife go down this road. You want to. Now, there's some that aren't going to do it. That, you know what? I'm the boss. The woman was deceived. There's so many scriptures you can use to brutalize women when you pull them out of context and make them mean something that the original authors didn't mean. Because Paul's talking about there's in Christ no male or female, no bond or free, that we're all the same in him. Jesus invited women into the conversations that matter. And he engaged them in a way no one else in that culture had done. And unfortunately, no one did for the 1900 years since until even more recently. Unfortunately, that's been a problem still. I do think it is a challenge to men. I do think it was easier for us when it's just, you know, we're the man and the wife just supports what we do. That's easier, but it's not godly and it's not real. And that's why it's got to be challenged. And yeah, guys, I think it's scary, particularly if your wife, I mean, if you were on a pretty neat spiritual journey, but it didn't look like it through some of that. You were pretty angry at God. You were angry
Very
at
angry.
Situations that were going on. I'm sitting thinking, I wonder how this is going to sort out. And yet, I think one of the best decisions I ever made in this relationship was, I'm going to give you the time and space to work this out. I'm not going to impose my will on you. Even having a ministry and what are people saying? You're asking, why isn't Sarah traveling with me? And it's strange because my son-in-law, who's a pharmaceutical rep, he doesn't go into a doctor's office. He'll say, why is your wife not with you? Or how come your wife doesn't come? But somehow in the whole ministry thing...
Yep.
And I felt that pressure at times that, oh gosh, maybe it looks like you're unsupportive if you're not there.
Ministry, pastoring, all of that. I mean, it just, it's different because, I don't know. I mean, it's a religious type of thing and you're supposed to share this together. And
we're still learning this because you, even a month ago, we had another conversation about things that you feel like are not you and not. And you felt trapped to be in certain places and roles that you're finding greater freedom not to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding greater freedom not to have you in, not to like secretly wish you'd get over this phase and get back to whatever, but really to be in the places where God wants Sarah to be in. And that's not everything that I do and every place that I go, even if other people are disappointed they don't get to meet you. They get to meet you on a podcast now and then.
Well, they can take a road trip.
You want everybody to come out here? Well, that's
good. Why not?
Cookies, meet Sarah. You're going to have lines of people in the driveway.
I don't think so.
This captured some of our readers. Maybe we'll get some of the further questions here, just helping them, some of the listeners. Frank wrote this on the blog. Thanks for the insights. While I'm not a husband that insists my wife of 26 years get on my journey, I've never thought about how I can get on hers. To champion each other, as you said in a few podcasts ago, thud. What kind of dork doesn't want to encourage his wife's journey? This kind of dork. Man, do we have some things to talk about this weekend. Thanks, guys. Oh, and you can add podcast smells so I can get to those cookies if possible. But I think with a lot of guys not sharing, not championing their wife's journey, I really don't think it was blatant selfish domination. I think it's just the culture you grew up in. You just didn't think about it.
Yeah, but when do you think that changed?
I think it is changing. I'm not sure it's changed yet. I think there's a lot of wives who are going to read some other stuff saying, gosh, I'd love for my husband to care about my journey a bit. And it doesn't seem like he does.
So what about the couple who both of them have to work? And that's probably more reality for the younger couples right now. And I know when I was working in the school district, and there was women who had to work and wish they could be home with the kids. But yet, even though if the woman is working and doesn't want to work and ends up where they could not, you know, they could stay home, there's still a journey and not having and just going back to being just a housewife.
Your air quotes, huh?
I only one because I have one arm.
Half an air quote, yeah.
But I mean, when I talk to people now, because I've been asked, well, what do you do? And they always, well, I'm just a housewife. Wow. That now, I mean, I heard myself many times say that, but whatever you do, I mean, you're working in school district, you're working in, I don't know, in Target, or, you know, loving all the people that you're going through the line and taking care of them, or whatever you do, but
That'd be tough, loving everybody coming through the line, maybe one or two a day.
But. Hey, when you get a friendly checker and you're out there, really nice.
I hear you.
It is nice who someone is going to really just give you a little smile and just encourage your day. But if you're a homemaker, that is just as equally as important as if you're out working in the world. And I know
so many. So you feel like women feel diminished if they're, quote unquote, just a homemaker? Is that what you're thinking?
I did. I know. I mean, it's just like, well, when you just say I'm just a housewife, go back to what I was saying. Now I just, when I ask people, I try and say, what fills your day? Because we have, I mean, kids maybe at this point in time in life, they grow up, they get into school, you get involved, or you're in, you know, when I was in high school, or you're answering phones. I mean, what does your day fill up with? I just feel I don't want people to just think if just being home with the kids, because that is so valuable if they can be, and not some women don't. I mean, it's just as a couple, as an individual, what does father have me do? Sometimes the wife might have to work just to make ends meet. Sometimes they don't. We have a journey. What we're getting paid for or not paid for is not the journey.
Yeah, I think when you see it's probably pretty irrelevant. I mean, part of it's a big part of our day if we're getting paid to go to a job if vocationally active. But the reality is our journey, what journey we're on, and I'm talking about joining each other on each other's journey, is really not about what we're doing every day.
No.
It's what we're thinking and
about us.
How we're processing and what life looks like for us and how we're and the job may be part of that, but it's not even the most significant part of that, I don't think, or the lack of it. And raising kids, I hope people get the idea. I mean, I watch my daughter raise her kids. I watch people who raise kids going, that giving a next generation your heart and your life, that's the most important thing. It is for dads, too, even if you work all day, to come in and pour your life into your kids, not just, you know, trust that the wife's handling all that because she's free to do it during the day.
But our journeys have different seasons in them. There's different, you know, when you're first married, then if you end up having kids, and then as the kids grow, and then they end up leaving home, going to college, and then they go on and then make, I mean, there's just the journey that in our lives is just different seasons, different aspects of it that we're in for a time, for a season. You might have a job for a few years. You may have might want to volunteer and do something for a while. You go back to school. I mean, there's just,
yeah, and that's why I think the usness of a couple is constantly looking at what are you doing, what am I doing, mm-hmm. How does that pay the bills, how does that make us available to people, how does that encourage our spiritual journeys. I think that's something you just constantly talk about because you're constantly making adjustments in those realities. I don't think you find a pattern that works for the entirety of your life. But it's important to have the conversations. It's important to value what your partner is thinking, even if it's not the journey you want from. One of the ladies wrote in and said, man, I've never had this problem with my husband, but I can see I don't have it with my kids.
Hmm.
I've been trying to put my kids on my journey. I've been, and there's a constant need to manipulate, particularly as kids get older, of trying to manipulate them so your life looks in a way that's fulfilling to me, rather than, no, you got to let your kids, that letting someone have their journey doesn't mean they're doing everything that you want. It means they're going to process it by living the consequences of their own choices. And if you want to be involved in that, then you're going to be a lover and an encourager to them in the better things, not the manipulator trying to get them on the journey you want them on.
Yeah, and I mean, children, you invest in them, you invest your life. They know, and then they go up, and then when they get to 18, it's just the natural thing. They go on. They're an adult.
Yep.
And they go, and they make their own choices. And then that's where you come alongside and you support them. You may not agree with them on what they do.
I think when the language of religion is all about conformity, which I think it was when we got married, it was the wife's role is this, the man's role is this. And no one thought in terms of journeys and shaping. And you don't have the ability to encourage someone who's not doing what you think is best for them.
Yeah.
But when you really see life as a journey, that even the prodigal son story, here's a guy, part of his journey is I'm going to waste dad's money. I'm going to go out and do dumb things, and dad's going to wait for me to come back. And when I do, still going to be loved, still going to be held. And dad's not out manipulating the journey. He's just waiting in a loving way. And I do think there's a freedom for us to do that. Leo wrote this, and I thought it was a good little eye-opening thing. I used to walk in a nearly unknown expectation that my wife would join me in my journey, along the lines of my directives from father. And Leo's a guy that carries a bit of a ministry life. What has been painful is how deeply rooted the assumption was. I'm not sure of any of the effects upon my wife's journey, for she's pretty much been herself in all the varieties and seasons of our journey over the past 42 years. Ours together and our unique relationship with father. She certainly has her own papa. It was painful for me because it is never pleasant to awaken and realize how wayward one's own heart can become with so-called righteous goals or aspirations. Also painful to become aware of the possible missed opportunities of enjoying her for herself while ignorantly waiting for some idea of ministry to come into fruition and thus more fulfilling days. Yikes. The awakening can be painful. It is like a birthing process coming out of the realms of religious assumptions and pious expectations into simple, fresh air is quite exhilarating in the spirit and refreshing to the soul. I walk these days in the ever-growing reality of my Father's love as well as the hope He has opened for me in more years of discovery and love of this precious lady He's so graciously granted me to walk with and be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not a conscious thing. It's just kind of the context we grew up in. I love it that she just felt the freedom to be her own gal, even if her husband's going nuts. But then to end to realize we've missed the opportunities to enjoy her for herself. And I think that's what I would say I love now about this stage of our journey. I'm loving you for who you are, not loving you for what you thought I wanted or what I would have. And I was pretty strong-willed, so I'd have done my share of manipulating you to the places I thought would have made our marriage better instead of really championing a journey you need to be on to actually become.
But I think some women probably struggle with trying to, if their husband is not really wanting anything to change. Yeah. And I think, and for the woman, for me, it was out of insecurity and not really believing that I was anything. And that took a lot of guts to try and even come out of that. And it wasn't easy saying no. And so it may be difficult for some women who that's great if they have the freedom to do that. And that's where personality and who we are. And some guys are, I mean.
I would say that's pretty rare, though, don't you? That a woman would just continue living freedom if her husband had these expectations on her. But
I think it's not as common, I don't think. But I think it's great.
And obviously just kept loving each other through it. So one lady that wrote about her husband, they're going to a church that she considers now to be very abusive. She doesn't want to raise her kids in it. It's pretty hostile to God, the angry God.
Yeah.
Her husband sings some of that, but he's the pastor's son.
Wow.
So if they leave the church, all kinds of things get blown up. He's begging his wife just to stay in this with me, just for the appearances of it. She's saying she can't tolerate it anymore, and she really fears what it's doing to her children. Man, what would you say to that kind of situation?
Man, when you get family involved like that, that is just really...
Obviously, the easy thing is to move out of town. I think sometimes the best way to leave something where no one's going to be angry at you is if you leave town. I don't know if that's even possible. I'm not saying that's what they ought to do. This is one thing I would say. This is what I think couples really need to communicate. Husband, if you've got a wife who's saying, I don't want my kids in this anymore, is it good enough? Do you mitigate the damage by saying, have to, it'll blow up my family, my parents? And at some point, there's always, these are a matter of degrees. If it's just a little tainted, maybe we can get along for a while. If it's majorly tainted, my wife's majorly being wounded, and yet stepping out is going to risk all kinds of family relationships. I think you've really got to, both of you realize what you're seeing is valuable. Now, what's the best decision we can make together in view of what you feel versus what I'm feeling? Not my feelings ought to trump your feelings, my thoughts,
yeah,
your thoughts.
That's where you don't want to violate someone's conscience on what they can do. Also, husband and wife, they move away from the mother and father and they become their own self. And so, also, there has been, biblically, a moving away from leaving home from the parents, too. So, but you can't violate someone's conscience and how they feel and what deep. I mean, that's a situation where there's going to have to be a lot of prayer, a lot of talking.
Yeah, it's a very sick man who would disconnect from his son if his son no longer attends his church. I already know that's not a very healthy pastor.
But it has happened.
Oh, it happens all the time.
So
a lot of insecure guys get in ministry roles, and then the family. If you're not here, then it proves my son's not supportive, and then I failed as a parent. And I'm the pressure on all that. I mean, you had a woman when we were dealing with our departure from a congregation mm-hmm. call you, and you're going to be responsible for a church split if you don't do what's expected of you.
Yeah, well, it's just like if you don't come back, you're going to split the church, and so that's what I mean.
Put it all on you.
Yep.
It's your deal. It's not that other people are lying and cheating and deceiving. Nope. It's the person who's saying, I'm not going to participate in this anymore, becomes the problem.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. That's what I think systems do. One gal asked here about just learning to have her own journey. She said, I hate to hesitate. I think, is housework only the woman's job, or should it be a combined effort of the family, including the husband? I think it's the comment we talked about, a guy vacuuming the house and he has it on his heart. And some of us talked about we're doing that for your wife and took a little offense to that. Is it always for the wife? I mean, doesn't the husband get the house dirty too and some of that? And my comment about that initially would be, I think every marriage, if you're going to function over a long period of time, you do fall into things that pretty much fall into your responsibility and things that fall into mine. And that's got to be equitable and that's got to be fair. And the family, the couple needs to have a sense that we're each doing an equitable amount of that. But I think the thing we're talking about, loving your partner, sometimes doing things that traditionally fall to her or to him just as a way of loving them. And then you do it enough, and eventually it changes in terms of who's expected to do what around here.
But, well, I would think that everything within a marriage, there is not men job and women job. Now,
see, I grew up in a home where everything outdoors was the man. It was the farm, and it was weeding and gardening. Yeah. Everything was the man outside. Everything was inside was the woman's. And since mom had four sons, I kind of left her in the lurch. We had to do some of that indoor stuff, dishes, but that was about it. She did all the vacuuming. She did everything growing up. So
I think some, finances, paying the bills, you get the one who has that gift and ability. In our situation, I do all that because you, first of all, don't like writing checks, but also you don't.
I don't like signing my name.
Well, you don't like signing names, but you. I mean, there's one that is better at that than another. So usually you find things that you do.
But that's got to happen when I'm not worried about you taking the finances and doing whatever you want with them without talking to me. I think oftentimes, whether it's the man playing it or the woman playing it, there's a lot of power games in marriage. Women withholding sex if the man isn't doing what they want. Men withholding money and allowance to the wife or whatever.
Yep.
I think none of this stuff works if you're in a power game with your marriage. I think that's the first thing maybe has to end. You've got to get to the place where we both genuinely care about each other and we're both working together for the same goal. That is having a healthy home life that allows you to be who God called you to be, allows me to be who God's called me to be. And yeah, we've got to get to an equitable sharing. I like it. Who's best qualified? And some stuff's just yucky. You do it because it has to be done. I can't imagine anybody goes, you know, I'm better qualified to clean toilets than you are. I just can't imagine that's going to be true anywhere. Some of it's just the mundane stuff that, so you do this, I'll do this, or maybe we all share it all. Maybe we just have a 4-hour, particularly when women works all day, for her to carry the major load in the house when you're both working a full day outside the home. That's where guys end up really, really selfish, I think. They'll just take it and say, oh, I worked all day, she's worked all day, but you know, that's women's work and it's not mine. And I just think that's criminal.
To be able to do that. And like us, for our case, where you grew up, the outside was your
domain,
was for your dad. And then the inside was mom. I mean, I do a large part of the stuff inside, but outside the gardening, it took several years, many, many years till you realized that I like to do that. And so that is something.
If Sarah was outside in the garden, I felt like I needed to be out there with her. And I didn't want to be out there certain times. And finally, I enjoy, this is how I relax. So get out of my garden if you're not having a good time. And we've actually found some wonderful ways to live that. Although I still help outside when there's stuff going on that needs me or is just more work than you want to do. Then the mundane stuff we try to share. The joyful stuff you can let go in different ways to each other. I think it's cool. Well, we're way 40 some odd minutes into this. I'm sure there might be more questions or thoughts, so we might have to back this up at another time. We didn't get to all the email that we had here, but I guess what I wanted to help people understand, I think through part of our journey, is one, you can't share someone's journey as long as you're contesting power. When you're still fighting over who gets their way, none of this happens. Until you find a settledness in Jesus making you fulfilled, you really can't walk alongside someone else's journey in a way that's healthy. You're going to manipulate them to get them on your own journey, and which is going to lead to resentment and going to further destroy the relationship. I'm hopeful people just encourage it. Going on a journey with somebody or supporting someone else's journey, because one guy wrote and said, what if the church is really dangerous? The wife wants to go, the husband doesn't. Should the husband go anyway? And will he get sucked back into that? I just think now we're looking for a principle instead of the reality of supporting your journey means I'm championing you what you want to do, not trying to get you to live it the way I want. So if you want to go to a Sunday morning event around here and I feel like it's harmful to me and it takes me 3 days to recover. I know one marriage that does this. He used to be a pastor. His wife goes because she's not sure her husband's going to live a whole lot longer. He's got some physical illnesses. That's her supportive community. She loves it there. He used to pastor in a fellowship. Like for him to go takes him 3 days to crawl out of that pit. And so they're both, when they're talking to me separately, one is going, I know I should really try to go. And I'm going, I don't think that's what it means. I think you're freeing her to be there and be part of it, not being resentful when she is. And for her, she's going, no, I should stop someday and say, I don't think that's it either. I think it's supporting the journey means I'm supportive of what's going on. If I need to be there for you, I'm going to be there for you. But part of it is I'm freeing you not to be there for me. I just want to be free to be part of what I feel like I need to be part of. And maybe the son keeps going and the wife doesn't. I mean, I don't know how they work this out because I think these are things that need God's wisdom, not principles from a podcast.
No principles are going to work in this.
Yeah. But if you genuinely care about each other and you genuinely respect what the other one's thinking and doing, and even if they're doing things that don't interest you a whole lot, but you take interest in them because it's important to you. I mean, I go out there and look at your flowers and we do stuff in the garden because I know this is a real part of you. And if I love you, I'm going to share that part of you. And some of the stuff, crazy stuff I do in business dealings and ministry stuff, you always have a real interest in what I'm doing, even if it's not something you necessarily want to do with me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's what means sharing and supporting each other's journey, as opposed to the idea that I've got really the better journey here and I've got to try and get my wife to do what I think is best for her. You want to ruin a relationship, that's a great way to go down it. If you want to enjoy, I think what we're getting to enjoy 37 years into this friendship and marriage, and I'm really enjoying it more and more every day because of the honesty and the freedom and the life that we have to care about each other and not necessarily make each other do what we want. And that's good. Yeah?
Yep.
You're nodding, but they can't hear that nod.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
you for traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com,